Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Doing well, how about you?
Good, thank you.
Good. What's your name, sir?
Jason Tucker, and my ADC number is 327-621.
Okay. Mr. Kamanis will conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Tucker, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir, I can.
Thank you. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Yes, sir. My name is Jason Erlen Tucker, and my ADC number is 327-621.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. You appeared before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is about the two alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest.
Yes, sir.
You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago.
Yes, sir.
See that you signed that form on September 6, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir. That sounds accurate, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See your attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'll represent myself, sir.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your video conference screen, to my far right, at the end of the bench, is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is our acting board chairman, Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. And my name is Louis DeNotis. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Yes, sir.
This hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. And keep in mind there's a separate vote that passes the hearing from phase one to phase two.
Yes, sir.
Whatever the allegations to you, you need to respond whether or not they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Kamanis.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you swear them in?
You know, I think you may have had a little bit of a lapse, so though. Thank you for catching it. Mr. Turkett, before we move forward, we have a bit of a format that we follow here, and I went past swearing you in. So, Mr. Tucker and Mr. Turner, do you both solemnly swear and tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, thank you for catching that. I appreciate it. I'm going to move forward now, and I'll begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal raising company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to maintain contact with your assigned parole officer or duty officer at the Mesa Regional Parole Office upon your discharge from your residence at Vibre Hathaway House, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on about July 31st, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you're an absconder from supervision. Mr. Tucker, is this true or false?
False.
Okay. And allegation number two, violation of condition number five, as demonstrated by your engagement in physically threatening and intimidating behavior on or about July 31st, 2018 in Beaver Hathaway House, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Tucker, is this true or false?
False.
Thank you. Based on your submissions of false, we're going to take follow-up information regarding these allegations from our community corrections officer. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for a few questions before we vote to consider passing this hearing from phase one to phase two. Okay, Mr. Tucker?
Okay. May I ask a quick question?
Yes, sir.
Because I've written kind of like my response to all the allegations that were sent to me regarding Corps Officer Smith. And am I not
going to
get an opportunity?
Oh, no, you will. As I stated, and it's why I said it early on, there's a separate vote where the board considers passing this case from phase one to phase two, and it is during the second phase of the hearing that you'll have an opportunity to speak to the board in detail. But okay. We have to get through phase one first. So what that will involve is hearing the allegations read by our hearing officer.
Yes.
We'll ask you a few questions about those allegations. We're not going to get in deep detail, and then we'll pass from phase one to phase two. And again, in the second phase of the hearing, should we pass to phase two, we'll have a chance to speak to the board in detail.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On 7/18/2018, the offender was approved to reside at Beaver, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85017. On 7/31/2018, P.O. Smith received a discharge letter from the offender's proof of residency, Beaver Halfway House, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85017. The discharge letter was dated 7/31/2018. The letter stated the offender was discharged due to the failure to comply and threatening and intimidating behavior towards staff on 7/31/2018. The offender was discharged from their facility on 7/31/2018. The offender has failed to make contact with his assigned parole officer since his departure from his approved residence. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he's an absconder from supervision. Follow-up to number one. On 8/2/2018, P.O. Smith attempted a telephonic contact with the offender's emergency contact, which was his father. P.O. Smith spoke to the father, and he stated that he has not seen nor heard from his son since the offender since 7/31/2018. On 8/2/2018, P.O. Smith called the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and confirmed that the offender was not incarcerated in their jail systems. On 8/2/2018, P.O. Smith contacted the Maricopa Medical Center and spoke to the hospital employee who stated the offender was not a patient. P.O. Smith knows no other persons, families, or friends to contact and attempt to locate the offender. Allegation number two. On 8/1/2018, P.O. Smith received an incident report from Beaver Halfway House stating on 7/31/2018 at 5:20 a.m., staff warrant, observed offender Tucker getting on the computer at 5:20 a.m. outside designated computer use hours. Staff warrant informed offender that the computers were down at this time and pointed to the posted sign in the lobby. The offender Tucker immediately became irate and started shouting profanity at staff. Staff warrant then asked the offender Tucker to leave the lobby, but client ignored staff directions and continued to curse and approach staff in a threatening manner, inches away from staff with both fists closed. That moment, staff walked away towards the office and offender Tucker followed staff with his fists still closed. At that point, staff decided to call non-emergency Phoenix PD, and at that moment, when offender Tucker realized staff warrant was on the phone with the Phoenix Police Department, he walked off property. Phoenix PD arrived on scene at 5:52 and left at 5:58, during which time offender Tucker was not on property.
Thank you, Mr. Tucker. Pardon me, Mr. Turner. Mr. Tucker, back to you. Again, we're only in the first phase of this hearing, so we're not going to get into deep details regarding these two first allegations. But in general, what is false about these two allegations?
Absolutely everything, 100% is false about everything that was said regarding. Be astounding and not trying to contact parole officer Smith. What occurred between me and the staff member is almost on the level of absurdity. The time frame, it was actually 6:47, it was early in the morning. I was an early riser. There were three different gentlemen that help run the day-to-day operations at Beaver House, and they are basically ex-felons who help run the day-to-day operations. Two of them had no problem with us early risers being in there. I was doing nothing more than looking for a job. The gentleman said I wasn't allowed to be on the computer. I simply told him, I said, come on, man. I said, the other two guys, and I left without incident. I didn't yell at him. I never put my fist up. I never followed him. That is 100% absurd.
Okay.
I said, number one, I'm a
Mr. Tucker.
Violence.
Okay. this from phase one to phase two. So the board's going to vote on this to determine whether or not you're in violation of your community supervision. Again, this is only the first half of the hearing. This isn't our final decision. So if you'll just remain on the telephone, I'm going to make a motion.
Appreciate it.
I'm going to make a motion and then we'll get back to you shortly.
Thank you.
Fellow board members, based on the information provided to us in Ward Number 2018W2261A is an alpha, and information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find Mr. Tucker a delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision, specifically, and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal wage company, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Newland, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Tucker, we are going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. And again, to put you at ease, it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not you'll be returned to community supervision or whether or not your supervision will be revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our committee corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions regarding the case supervision summary, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail, okay, sir?
Okay.
Oh, and that includes any statement that you want to read to the board.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Turner.
Tucker was released from ADC custody on 7-18-2018 and arrested on 8-8-2018 by ADC. No new charges are noted. Turned back to ADC custody on 8-8-2018 with an adjusted CSED of 11-24-2018 with 8 abscondes. Current conviction, 2016, endangerment, 11 months. Has no prior terms, no prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2-1, mental health score of 3, and he has no substance abuse score. There's no STG information noted and no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is minimal. Other arrests, 2017, criminal damage, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation, has a GV score of G1B1.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Tucker. Again, I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. According to your summary, you were released from the Department of Corrections, homeless, but were able to secure residence at V-Bay 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona. On July 31st, 2018, you were discharged from V-Bay for failure to comply and threatening and intimidating behavior towards staff. You failed to make contact with your assigned parole officer since your departure from your approved residence for going to change of residence. So, did you live anywhere else besides V-Bay when you were outside of the prison system, sir?
No, I was actually homeless living in a park. The first few nights I was sleeping on bus stops because I live in a small rural community of Parker, Arizona. I've only been to Phoenix one other time when my daughter Madison was born premature and had to be life-flighted. So I was in between Indian School and Camelback, one of the most violent areas in Phoenix. I hooked up with this gentleman, and he was kind enough. He'd been homeless for 6 months, and I was basically staying with him. He had a little camp at this park near Indian School, and that's where I was living. Until finally, he got a phone. He secured a phone for me, and that's when I called my father. And he told me where Walmart was. My father wired me money from Walmart to Walmart. I secured a phone, and that's where I tried to call my PO Smith and let him know about my parole officer Smith and let him know about my situation, what had happened, what had actually occurred. Is this when I'm supposed to read my report?
No, I'm going to continue just making a quick review of your case supervision, so and then we'll ask you some questions and you'll have a chance to read your statement, okay?
Yes, sir.
We have programming notes that you were referred to attend classes at V-Bay, smart classes. You did not complete the program. On July 18, 2018, you were referred to task for random your analysis. You were not assigned a color code. No UAs were taken before you absconded. And then a follow-up note, hold on a second. Follow-up note that on August 8, 2018, you reported to task on 423 North Country Club Drive in Mesa to provide UA on a non-call date to act in what he called CCO Smith and advise that you were being aggressive with your behavior. CCO Smith called you and began to, CCO Smith called you and you began to get upset and he stated, interesting tense. I'll read this again, just verbatim. Task employee called CCO Smith and advised that the offender was being aggressive with his behavior. CCO Smith called the offender and he began to get upset and he stated that I would be the victim. CCO Smith directed offender to leave task and report to MRPO 460 North Mesa Suite, number 21, Mesa, Arizona. He reported to MRPO and were taken into custody and transported by PO Bernard and Senior Parole Officer Poyser to Phoenix, Alhambra. Okay, so just a few questions and then again you'll have a chance to speak. I think you may have already answered this question. You were missing from the community supervision for 8 days, so am I correct that during that time you were homeless?
Homeless. I was living in a park somewhere around the Indian School area and in between Indian School and Camelback.
And again, I think you answered this question, but why did you break off contact with your parole officer during this homeless phase?
Because my phone was damaged and I did not have a phone. Unfortunately, in today's world, if you ask someone to use one of these high-dollar smartphones, they automatically think you're going to grab it and run away. It's not just as easy as, hey, can I please use your phone to call my father? The first answer is always no. And there's no such thing as pay phones anymore. Even going into a business, they go, oh, it's only for, you know, public use. And at that point, I had just grown so frustrated. My wife, before that, blocked me on her phone. I was unable to talk to her, talk to my baby. So my mindset of being homeless, being in this big city, being kicked out of Beverly, just being out of prison. I mean, I was in a pretty, you know, sensitive, emotional, scared, survival, you know, point of state of mind, you know, especially being living in a forest stoplight town like Parker, Arizona. I mean, it's just, you know, it was just, it was something, you know, just from another world for me.
Okay, Mr. Tucker, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Hold on a second. Go ahead, Mr.
May I read a couple of those moments?
Yes, sir.
All right. On 7/27/2018, Michelle Tucker, the offender's sister-in-law, called and stated that the offender had been posting strange things on Facebook and that she was concerned about him. On 8/7/2018, Parole Officer Bazell received a phone call from Gordon Tucker, who states the offender had been staying at a hotel. Gordon Tucker was advised that the offender needed to make contact with his assigned PO and report to the parole office immediately.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Quick follow-up question. According to Mr. Tucker, for whatever reasons, and he'll give us an explanation shortly as to why he left V-Ray, did he have any follow-up contact with his parole officer after that when he received the telephone?
There was no contact. The parole officer tried several times to contact him on his phone with no success. He called the offender's father, as stated in the warrant. Father had stated he hadn't seen him. So there was no contact with the offender until he was arrested by the Mesa Regional Parole Office.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Yes, Mr. Johnson?
There's several letters in here. Mr. Turner, is it just your belief that you are having too many SMI problems while you're having a problem out there?
You mean Mr. Tucker's name?
Tucker. We're doing the same thing. I just want to put you all over the place.
It's okay. I just want to make sure that
we understand. I just want to make sure you're not SMI. Mr. Tucker.
Yes.
So there's some letters in here from a doctor and also from your parents and also you were a comment in there. So are you saying that you're having a hard time adjusting out there because of some of your SMI issues?
No, I mean, I don't think I've ever been quantified as seriously mentally ill. I mean, I live with bipolar, and I've been on my Depakote 800 milligram twice a day for a year now.
Okay.
And, I feel better than I've ever felt mentally, physically, and, once I do get out, whether, the board, you decide to let me out, sometime this week, or, during my November 24th release date, I know that I'm going to go back to being the productive citizen I've been my entire life. So, it was a matter of intense stress over a very, very short amount of time. And once I get to kind of read my little letter and kind of put it, once you guys see things from my point of view, then I feel like I'll be able to kind of explain the actual time frame and how everything worked out and so.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions from the board? Okay, Mr. Tucker, I did not mean to come off as putting you off or anything that you wanted to show the board. But now is that time, so if you have a statement you'd like to read to us.
Okay.
We'd appreciate it.
I'll write it down, so if you don't mind, I'll probably be looking off camera.
That's fine, sir. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Okay, parole board, I want to thank you for this opportunity to give my response to my alleged parole violation. I was released on July 18, 2018 on my TR, but was unable to go to my home because my wife, Karen, kicked me out of our home prior to my sentencing on May 21st, 2018 due to the emotional and financial stress of my pending sentencing. Mojave County Parole also denied my parole, my parents' home, due to an incident that happened back in October 2016 where my brother and I foolishly shoved each other, wrestled for a minute, and my father called the sheriff's department and an incident report was filed. My only option was a halfway house. Only ADC-approved halfway house exists in all of Mojave County is Westcare in Bullhead City, which was completely full. CO3 Burdette had no choice but to find me one in Phoenix, which I had only been to one other time, the Brick House. Upon my release on 2018, my parents took me directly to the Phoenix parole office, where I was assigned to Officer Smith. Parole Officer Smith informed me in his own words that my case was dumped on his desk days before my release. He told me I was specifically assigned to him because we were both former military who struggled with PTSD. In fact, Parole Officer Smith went on for almost an hour about his own trials and tribulations of after-service trauma and his extensive educational background and that he was willing to do whatever to help a fellow vet. His last comment that hit home was he said that at the Phoenix Parole Office, our job is to help you, Jason. We don't set you up for failure like most Arizona County probation offices. To say the least, I left the parole office feeling encouraged and that I had a good bet on my side. I checked into B-Ray after having a meal with my parents. We were all served, to say the least, of the ADC-approved halfway house in between Indian School and Camelback, one of the most violent and drug-affected locations in Phoenix. Especially, living in a four-stoplight rural community like Parker, Arizona. I was unjustly kicked out of B-Ray because of wanting to use the computer. Three of the guys that run said that it was okay for me to use the computer early, and one said it wasn't. I was one of about 60 people that are actually following the rules, getting up early, and out by 8, looking for a job, and out until at least 4 p.m. I had no less than 7 promising opportunities within days of looking. When I got back that afternoon, I was approached by one of the on-site workers, told me I was kicked out, handed me a large black trash bag with my clothes and personal effects. A shaver my dad gave me was missing. The staff member checked with my roommates, but it was not returned. Now I was homeless and without a cell phone I had damaged by accident. I grabbed some clothes, put it in my backpack, and hid the rest in a trash bag near a large bush. I spent approximately 6 to 7 days homeless with less than $50 on me. I finally found someone kind enough to let me use their phone, where my dad wired me $200 from Walmart to Walmart. I immediately purchased a phone and called and texted Parole Officer Smith numerous times, absolutely zero responses. My folks called and texted during that time, and they said that they had no response from Parole Officer Smith. This was before I had called Westcare 2 days after my July 18th release and asked Bobby, who runs it, if an opening came up, please call me. And the parole officer said he was fine with that based on my charges and where I live, being married with three children. And amazing enough, Bobby had told me that someone had just been kicked out and that he would hold that bed for me. It took Parole Officer Smith approximately 7 to 9 days to send back and sign okay for transfer. It was actually Bobby who finally facilitated the paperwork for P.O. Smith to sign. Bobby was kind enough to keep calling and emailing Parole Officer Smith to get the paperwork to coordinate with Mahoney County parole. And which leads me to the next question. Why was this warrant issued in the first place? Me, my parents, and Bobby and Westcare all thought my transfer back to Mojave was okay. My dad called me, said he was fueling the Explorer and would be on his way to pick me up, to take me back to Westcare and then to the parole office the next morning. 15 minutes later is when my mom called me, and that's when I was at the task and I became a little bit upset, and the lady asked me to go outside, and that's why I went outside. I was just frustrated. Parole Officer Smith said he had issued a warrant. I said, what? And also, it wasn't Parole Officer Smith who called me, it was my mother who called me. And then on his report, he said that he called me on one of the last lines of that report. It was my mother who called me. I never spoke to Parole Officer Smith. In fact, when I showed up after task, he had already left. I jumped on a bus, and I got there at 4:50. They brought me in, questioned me. They cuffed and stuffed me, brought me back to Alhambra. I stayed there for 12 days, and eventually was transferred back to Yuma Complex, La Paz, where I had served an additional 51 days for not calling or texting. If you choose not to approve my parole release, my end date is November 24th, which will be a total of approximately 330 days for a Class 6 undesignated felony, which after I pay back my restitution will be a misdemeanor. I'm 42 years old. I'll be 43 at the end of December. I'm married to my lovely wife, Karen, of 3.5 years. We have a daughter who turns 2 on October 28th. I have 2 beautiful stepchildren, 13 and 14. I have a job. I've served my country. I've been a productive person and taxpayer my entire adult life. I just lost my only sibling, my older brother, complications of throat cancer on April 22nd. My parents and my wife and kids have gone through so much, so I ask you to consider my release, not for me, but for them, so we can move on and begin to heal as a family. Thank you for your consideration for the award.
Thank you, Mr. Tucker. I have a quick question, and that is, and it sounds like this based on the statement you just read. You do have, well, I'm asking you, do you have the support of your family? Is it in Parker?
My parents are in Fort Mojave, which is on the Colorado River near Laughlin. And then I live in Parker with my wife, Karen, and yes, I do. Absolute 1,000%.
Okay, are any of them in the room today? Do we we have any?
No, but I do believe there were letters that were...
Yes, we have the letters. I just want to make sure that I'm not skipping the opportunity for anyone to speak, because we do have four people in the hearing room today, and my educated guess is that they were not here for you, but I just want to make sure in good faith. Again, I'm going to ask my board members if there's any follow-up questions. Okay, Mr. Tucker, I didn't give you the official statement that this is near the end of your hearing. If you wanted to make a final statement, you read quite a statement already, but is there anything else you wish to share with the board before we go into discussion?
No, I believe I said everything I needed to say, and I appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate all the questions, and I'll just leave it in the board's hands.
Thank you, Mr. Tucker. The board will be going into discussion. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona? You're reminded that we don't discuss these cases before we walk into the hearing room, so we will deliberate as independent voting members. So again, if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I certainly feel for Mr. Tucker. There are a lot of individuals right now in this country that are struggling with PTSD and some of the side effects associated with it. And I do recognize that Mr. Tucker does not have a very long history inside the Department of Corrections, which I'm personally pleased with, as we see many cases of people with some pretty extreme histories. I will say this too, though, and not to broad stroke anybody struggling with PTSD, but certainly one of the patterns that I've seen in my own trials is that emotions can be very, very amped up, so to speak. That emotions can be very amped up in some high stress situations, and it's pretty routine. And I'm not quite sure how things unfolded at V-Ray. I'm inclined to believe that there was some sort of at least verbal altercation that unfolded, and that Mr. Tucker did abscond for several days. He was not able to reestablish contact with his parole officer, and it's just always hard to look past a period of absconding. So my position is, considering the circumstances that he absconded, that community supervision did not seem to work out for him, and that really his personal and family stability is surrounded by him leaving the county. I think he might be better served just finishing these last 8 weeks and returning to the community free and clear without community supervision, but that's where I'll begin the discussion, because I'm certainly open. Then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, pardon me. And that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018W2261A as an alpha, our discussion with Mr. Tucker, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, and move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Tucker was delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal major company, inasmuch that he absconded from community supervision, the non-conference activity, and regardless of how it unfolded, it seemed that there was some sort of altercation that happened in Beaver before we started for 8 days, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Seconded by Mr. Neal, moved upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Tucker, I certainly take no pleasure in this, but your supervision has been revoked. You will be released on or about November 24th, 2018, which is a little less than 2 months away. I recognize that may sound like a long time, but it is a matter of weeks. So we encourage you to take advantage of these last weeks to put together a plan for your safe return to your family. We do wish to see you have a safe, productive return to your family and community.
Yeah.
We ask
thank you. I appreciate it, Board.
Right. The ceremony has been concluded. No further discussion may take place. And thank you for appearing before the Board today, Mr. Tucker. Thank you.
Do you need to talk to CO3 today?